Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Caberti, founder of the Content Marketing Plaza, bringing you 3 new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. And before we jump into today's episode, let me ask you a quick question. How much would your life change if you could make 6 figures from your content? Imagine being able to quit your 9-to-5 job, do what you love for a living, and spend more time with your family. That's what we help our students do at the Content Marketing Plaza, an 8-week program that will help you build your way to 6 figures via your content. You can learn more about the Plaza by heading over to contentmarketingplaza.com, which will be in the show notes. All right, let's jump right back into the episode. And one of the things that we have to remember is that it's great to build a business, it's great to make money, and that's just one of the areas of life that really measures our happiness. It's one of the areas. So you really want to think about, why are you accumulating money? Why are you doing all this work? Where does it lead? How does it help you in the other areas of your life? And thinking in this way is really the starting point to having lasting happiness, which the guest who we have today, he's going to talk a little bit on that topic with us. He is the author of a few books, including Lasting Happiness. He's also written Rotting in the Bangkok Hilton and The Nature of Religion. He was born and raised in Mountain View, California, which is the heart of Silicon Valley. He has a really incredible backstory, which we will definitely get into in this episode. But today's guest for episode 307 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than TM Hoy. TM, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Mark. I'm really glad to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your audience.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show today. I'm really looking forward to get into this. Before we do, though, I'm wondering if you could share a little bit about that backstory. I kind of hinted a little bit about it earlier. Definitely something to listen to. So can you give us a little bit on that and why you wrote your book, Lasting Happiness?
Of course, absolutely. So essentially, I'd been in the jewelry industry for many years, and I was living in Asia, and I was a fiscal conservator for a guy. I was responsible for him, and I brought him with me when I left Palm Springs, California, and moved to Thailand in the 90s. And so I had a girlfriend, and she was Thai, and they were constantly getting into arguments with each other. And I was off on a business trip one evening, or actually for several days, and I came back and found that he had strangled her in my house. So I panicked, and I really wasn't sure what to do. I knew that the Thai police regularly tortured people, and they did all kinds of really monstrous things to foreigners in particular. And so I hesitated. And, of course, I was drinking as well, so that doesn't help your judgment. Any case, hours went by, and at that point, I felt like I had just lost the ability to really go to the police with this, and I ended up helping him cover up the murder. So we were discovered about a week later, and we went to prison, and I spent the next 16 years in prison, 5.5 of it in Thailand. And that experience of being in Thai prison was what really was the origin of this book, Lasting Happiness. Because what you find is that when you're faced with death every day, and I saw hundreds and hundreds of people die, really horrible deaths all around me, death from starvation, from tuberculosis, from intestinal diseases, all kinds of things. And when you come face to face with your mortality like that, you really think, you're forced to face who you really are as a person, and you're stripped of everything. There's no illusions left. It's just you and a life or death struggle every day. And that is when most people either break or you transform. And a lot of people go insane. A lot of people become drug addicts. A lot of people end up you just falling apart, basically. But if you have a little bit of strength, it's possible for you to take a really hard look at who you are as a person and think about that and say, wait a minute, who am I and where am I going and why am I here? You ask those fundamental value and vision questions. And that's what I did. And so facing death every day, I came to the realization that we really need very little to be happy. Some love, some respect. What it boils down to is your relationships first with yourself and then with those immediately around you. And if you have those good relationships, then you have the ingredients that you need to be happy. And that is the origin of the book, Lasting Happiness. It was 12 years more of really heavy research and work and experimentation and all of that, thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of scholarly research, all of that contributed and made it what the book is today. But it was that experience that drove the origin of the book. So that's the long and short of it, Mark.
That's a really fascinating backstory. I remember just being blown away by it when I first learned about that story. And, I mean, it's really interesting how, I mean, you come out of prison not resentful, but just happy. I mean, I'm sure you could go a little bit more into that later, but, I mean, it seems like you just came out, and it wasn't, like, you didn't even commit a murder. So I'm wondering if you could talk about how you're able to go from that experience, not your fault, be in prison for 16 years and then still be able to be happy and help people, and that becomes your profession.
Everything depends on perspective, really, how you perceive reality and how you perceive your place in it. And I'm not really much on the whole grudge thing. It really doesn't get you very far in life. And What happened after I got out was just an immense feeling of gratitude and happiness that, hey, I'm free, I'm healthy, I still have my life and my sanity, and I had a lot of really supportive people as well, and that makes a tremendous difference. So if you've got connections or you're willing to form connections, that's the essence of really what you need to do to move forward from a traumatic experience, is make those connections and make them real. But for myself, just personally, I take a huge amount of joy and pleasure in just really simple things. And so I love nature. I like solitude too. But just the daily life, being able to listen to good music, taking a nice hot shower, swimming in a pool, taking a nice walk, enjoying the beautiful scenery. I live in Tucson, so right now is a lovely time of year. It's absolutely gorgeous here. Weather's in the 70s, and just nice and clear and beautiful. And I really enjoy that. And so life is what you make it. Life is it all comes down to your perspective, really. And for me, I'm kind of forward looking. I tend to be optimistic anyway. And so the trauma tended to make me more grateful and more enjoying life, really, and realizing that we don't need very much to be happy. Cicero kind of summed it up with a good library and a good garden, a little wine, and you're good to go. And I'm right on board with that, Mark.
And I mean, hearing you go in detail, it's very obvious based on the way you were talking, how you like those simple things, the nature, the solitude. And those are things we could overlook if we're trying to accumulate money, which again, it's great to have that goal, but be a little more focused on why you want to make the income that you want to hit. What kind of lifestyle do you want to create for yourself with the money mm-hmm. you want to make? And then maybe when you really define that lifestyle, you realize it's not as expensive as you thought it was when you were first going into this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what a lot of people don't do is they don't define success. They allow others to define success for them. And I think this is a tragedy and a huge problem in our society, is that people don't take that step back and say for a minute, wait a minute, because the title, of course, your podcast, Breakthrough Success, Absolutely. You know, what does success mean for you? What is success? You define it, because you're the one that determines whether you're successful or a failure. That's an internal thing. That's a subjective thing. We're not talking, because most people don't really have to do the things that they do to accumulate wealth. They're voluntary, and you have to make that choice of what does a successful life look like to you? Is it to be surrounded by really supportive friends and family? Is it, I mean, I don't really think that there's that many people truly that are going to work 80-hour weeks just because they want a toy, you know? I don't, I mean, there are people that do that, right? That spend their whole life slaving away so that they can afford a jet plane and a yacht and what have you. But I don't think, if you step back and you said, wait a minute, you know, you could rent a yacht. You can buy a timeshare in a jet. And you don't have to go to these crazy extremes. You have to really think carefully about, again, you go back to those values questions. What is it that really is crucial to you? What really matters? What is it that is going to make you personally happy? And is that truly what you're working towards? Because I think most of the time the answer is no. People are working towards something they've been sold, an idea that they've been convinced is real, but isn't. That's the essence of so many people, especially in the business world with entrepreneurs that are just tremendously driven individuals, very ambitious. But I think in many cases it's misdirected, because they're trying to accumulate wealth where really what happiness comes from is our relationships with others. And that has nothing to do with money. Money is gives you that ability for freedom. That's the important part of money, is it gives you choices. And that's absolutely vital. If you don't have your basic needs met, absolutely money is you know, the end all and be all. But once you reach that point, and what we found, we know what scientists have found and researchers have found, especially in economics, is that when you reach a point of about $25,000 a year, after that, because that's your basic needs are met in the West for that, it's much, much less in the third world. But in the West, at about $20,000-$25,000 a year, your basic needs are covered. And anything beyond that, you know, we've become enormously wealthy over the last 50 years, just tremendously wealthy, and increases in comfort and convenience from technology and everything else. But we're absolutely no happier. In fact, we're even less happy than they were 50 years ago. And it's just from all of that, the fact that we are stressed and anxious and upset by daily life, all the trouble of modern life. And we do not chase the things that bring real happiness. We're chasing wealth, and that does not bring lasting joy.
Really interesting insights. And I mean, again, it really boils down to what are you going to do with that wealth, and really setting the lifestyle you do want to live. Like in instance, renting that yacht if you really want it, mm-hmm. because you're not going to use it every day of the year,
right?
Definitely it's important to consider things like that instead, to really break down what you're going after, so you can have that lasting happiness. But part of having that lasting happiness is to not break during some of the more challenging moments in our lives. And I'm wondering if you could share with us, I mean, I don't know about all 16 of those years. I can barely imagine what that was like. But how did you overall not break? And was there a point, like maybe in the beginning of those 16 years, where you actually did almost break? And can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. There was actually several points where, especially in the first year or two, where I was very, very close to death. And those were transformational moments for me. The old person that I was, I really wasn't a very good person. I didn't have any integrity. I was chasing the wrong things, very, very focused on wealth. And I traveled a lot. I've been fortunate. I traveled all over Europe and Asia, so I'd seen a decent amount of the world. And I've had an excellent education as well, so I was very fortunate with that, but as well as speaking many languages. But the experience of, well, The very first year, after about 2 weeks of being in prison, the authorities who enjoyed torturing us basically found out that the only thing I could eat, because they were feeding us food that wasn't really food, and they found out that the main thing I was living on was these banana bread muffins that they were smuggling into the prison. They had these Chinese Thai prisoners that were merchants that inside the prison, that wealthy prisoners. And they were running their own little coffee shop. And so they found out that that was what I was eating. And they cut that off. And they said, no, you're not going to sell that foreigner those anymore. So I literally came within probably a day or two of starving to death. And I knew the consul general in Chiang Mai, which is in the northern city where I was in prison. And his name was Carl, really great guy. And the American consul found out because I sent him a letter and said, hey, Carl, listen, I'm sorry to bother you with this, but unfortunately, I'm going to die. And I need your help. I've got, you know, assets scattered over three continents, and I'm going to have the – I know the U.S. Embassy doesn't like to do this, but you're going to have to be my executor or there's nobody else. And he flipped out and came racing down to the prison and you know, just raised hell with a local warden, and they changed it, and they started allowing me to get meals delivered from a restaurant down the street. But the point was just that I almost died of starvation, and that was a very interesting experience. It was like the world just – it becomes a very different place because you – if you are willing to do that, and you can have that experience yourself, and it's crucial to finding meaning and finding what's really important and the life goals in your life, if you'll sit down just and face mortality. And when there's a few ways to do it, one of them, of course, is the way that I did, which is almost die. Another less traumatic way is like the Japanese do. They had a ritual that they would go through where they would imagine themselves dying in an hour or two. And in this case, it was not imagination. This was in the feudal period of Japan, the samurai, when they were ordered to commit seppuku or ritual suicide. And they had an hour to sit down and compose a haiku, a poem. And doing that really focused them, and they would say, you know what, I'm gonna express myself in an elegant, beautiful poem that summarizes my worldview or my philosophy. And another way of approaching this would be simply to visit old age homes or take a little time volunteering and going to a ward, like a cancer ward or something, and visiting people that need some visits. And that experience. Absolutely crucial to discovering what it is that's really important to you, what really matters, because you're going to look back and you're going to think, wow, look at the things that I really wanted to do and didn't do, or the things that you're doing right now that don't really matter, that aren't going to matter on your deathbed. And that was – so that happened several times. There was a fever a little bit later where I almost died. In Bangkok, it happened a couple of times because they don't really have any treatment for illnesses in third world prisons. You either live or you die. And all of those experiences added up to sort of a deeper understanding of what it was that I wanted out of life and what I was interested in and what I felt was important, what I wanted to contribute. And that's kind of it's a lot, kind of a winding answer. Sorry about that, but that's sort of the summary of it.
I mean, it's really amazing the way you're explaining these events that happened to you. I mean, it doesn't sound like there's resentment in your voice. You're just trying to explain it in a way that teaches. I mean, I don't see any kind of like victim mentality in you. I see it as you are just trying to tell us about these experiences, really get us to think deeper about life. So I just wanted to point that out because I found that really interesting when you were talking about your experience, such as like almost starving. I mean, I didn't really hear a victim mentality. I didn't really hear...
No.
I mean, and I'm pointing this out because, like, I mean, we have this victim mentality for so many different things. And
oh, sure, yeah. Sure. It's endemic in our society. We've really, I look around me a lot of times, and I have a hard time not laughing at a lot of the things that I see in the media, because you got people griping and complaining about crazy stuff, and you're like, wait a minute. You know, most of the planet struggles. Hundreds of millions of people are desperately ill from just drinking dirty water. And people struggle every day just for food and medicine. And kids die by the tens of millions for the lack of these things. And we don't realize just how fortunate we are. And not only that, but the average person in Western industrialized countries has so many different ways and opportunities of expressing themselves, and so many different things they can do that, I mean, that to me is what breakthrough success means, is that you have an impact on your world in the way that you want to, that you have a voice, that you have a way of improving your surroundings. And that to me is what matters. And people have that power, they have that ability, and they don't use it. They spend their lives focused on things that are just tedious or irrelevant or strange, that aren't really at the core of who they are as people. And so summing everything up, the essence of it really is that it's the self-examined life. It's really take that time, step back and take a few minutes every day and think about who you are and what you want to achieve in this life, and let that be your guiding light. And that to me is what's really crucial, and that's what my message is about. The book really isn't so much, it's a treasury of tools and techniques is what it is. That's why my book is different, and that's why I'm trying so hard to promote it, is that it's not about my idea of what happiness is. That's what most of the books out on the market are. What mine is actually a collection of tools and techniques to make it real. So how do you build a good life? How do you build those healthy relationships? What do you actually need to spark creativity? What is it that you actually need to get love flowing into your life? And that's what the book is filled with, because people don't know how to do that. You could tell somebody, okay, healthy relationships are the basis of a happy life, and they'd say, okay, fine, I accept that. How do I do that? And that's what I've spent more than a decade doing, is gathering all of these different methods of practical methods of how you do that, because it's difficult. It's not I'm not going to lie to people and say it's easy, because it's not. You have to dedicate time. You have to dedicate resources to this, and they're internal resources. It's not really about money again. It's about that willingness to change. And many people fear change. Many people hesitate when it comes to their own life and their lifestyle. But they don't. I think if people were honest with themselves, they would realize that they're not really enjoying life very much. They're not. Most people that you see in daily life are a couple of minutes away from road rage, because their existence is so miserable. And that's what I'm trying to change. I'm like, people, you don't have to live this way. You know, it's your choice. You're doing this because you've been convinced that this is the way that it needs to be, but it doesn't have to be that way.
That's definitely something very deep. I mean, we hear like a lot of like, there's someone in a worse position than you. And I mean, like, to have gone through what you went through for those 16 years and the circumstances that put you in that position. And I mean, now you're helping other people be happy, which is, again, something I'm very amazed about. And I mean, through your research, through your interactions, I'm sure you know a few things that hold people back from being able to be happy, but more importantly, maintain their happiness. So I'm wondering if you could share with us, what do you believe holds most people back from really being able to tap into their own sense of lasting happiness?
The biggest thing comes, I think the biggest block is also the simplest, and it's connections. You begin, none of this is really I don't want to use the word difficult. None of this is really challenging, that challenging. Mainly, it's just willingness. So I would say to begin with, it has to do with kindness. And that begins with yourself. Most people are so harsh with themselves, very judgmental and harsh, demanding, very unwilling to be kind. And if you're willing to do that, be kind to yourself. Listen to your body. And actually respond to it and listen to what bring, you know, I guess the essence of it is in dealing with kindness is pleasure, because pleasure is an infallible indicator of what it is that you like and what makes you happy. And if something brings you pleasure, bring those things into your life. Don't hesitate. Begin doing some things that are kind to yourself and transform that relationship with yourself from one where you're demanding things all the time and being judgmental and insistent, very, very driven by rationality and by goals, but not really listening to what the body needs and what our emotional needs are. And if you fulfill those things for yourself, then you start to build, okay, now you're starting to get a happy, healthy relationship with yourself. You're bringing things into your life that please you, and now you can reach out and do that to others. That's the next step that really transforms lives, that I think keeps most people from being happy, is their relationships with other people are either competitive or sort of confrontational. There's not a lot of love there, and not a lot of compassion either. And so I would highly recommend that. And you know, this is an ancient message. I'm not saying anything new here at all. But I think that if people were willing to just, you know, take the foot off the gas a little bit on relationships and just relax a little bit and think about what it is that other person needs and what that other person wants, and being willing to go there a little bit, be a little bit kind. And it doesn't take much to transform relationships that way. And so connections are really the essence of what it is that builds a joyful existence. If you, for example, maybe you love libraries. Maybe you enjoy your local library. It doesn't take much to belong to the Friend of the Libraries Association or whatever the, you know, group that does that is. You're going to meet all kinds of people that share the same love that you do and be part of a community. People are cut off from communities. People don't have real communities anymore. You need to create your own. And whether that's online, whether that's in person, however you want to do that, that's fine. But communities are really essential. So begin by being kind to yourself. Extend that out to others in your immediate circle, your family and friends, people that you care about most. And then ultimately tie into something that makes you passionate, that you really love, that's in your community, and form a connection there. And that, to me, would be the answer to your question, is really connections. Because whether it's loneliness or anger, anxiety, there's so many different maladies that we have mental illness-wise in society today that are cured by connections. Just somebody willing to listen, somebody willing to be a little bit kind, and it doesn't take very much to really transform a life.
Really powerful stuff. I mean, connections are definitely very important, that sense of belonging. And you mentioned that insight at the very end, it really doesn't take too much to change someone's life. It could be something very simple as a smile. It could be something very simple as thanking them for something they did. I mean, it really doesn't take too much to have that impact. So, I mean, a lot of really interesting insights with connections being that main theme. I'm wondering also if, I mean, I can tell you're a very happy guy and you help people do that. But I'm wondering if you could share with us some of the habits that you believe have been essential for you being happy and being able to stay that way as well.
For myself, I mean, everybody's different. Everybody has their own, you know, likes and dislikes and whatever. I think the key really is to discover those things and find out what it is that you like. And, pursue that, because what has made my life so enjoyable and the things that I love, very, very simple stuff. I love good books, and I have a wonderful library and access to books, and that brings me a huge amount of joy. The same thing with nature. I love nature. And so I spend time. I'm willing to take a little bit of time to stare at a beautiful skyscape, you know, where the clouds are doing something, or the mountains. Again, I'm surrounded by a lot of physical beauty here in the Southwest and fortunate that way. And I take time to just relax and walk a little bit and take it in. Brings a huge amount of joy. I love music. I admit it. I hate to admit this, sort of. It's like a I don't want to call it a personal character flaw, but I love hair metal. And so I love listening to 80s and 90s hair metal, you know, and Warrant and all that kind of stuff. And so I get an immense amount of joy just out of listening to an MP3 player. What else? There's all kinds of stuff that I like. I like good food. It's really funny. I love Mexican food. And here in Tucson, they have a tourist saying that's 30 miles of Mexican food, because if you lined up all the Mexican restaurants, there's like 30 miles of them. Anyway, yeah. But there's some really, really good Mexican restaurants here, and I love Mexican food, so that works out perfect. And there's a lot of these little things that don't really – it's not difficult. You're surrounded by things like that. I think most people are there is a thing – you know, we're talking about what would make people happier, habits that would make people happier. And I think there's a couple things that you can do that make a huge difference. One of them is just a daily willingness, like maybe in the evening, to take like 10 or 15 minutes and meditate. And it doesn't have to be anything deep or anything. All you really want to do is just still the mind for a little while. And the easiest way to do that is a breathing exercise. Count to three, taking a deep breath in. Hold it for 3 or 4 seconds, and then slowly release it 3 or 4 seconds, and count that out. And when you do that, what you find is that you calm your mind, you calm yourself. Be willing to do that for a few minutes every night. And I think what comes out of that is a period where, okay, you have a little bit of breath, a little room away from all the pressures of the demands of your job, the demands of family, demands of imposed on you by others, and a space where you can reflect a little bit. Even if you don't start it out that way, ultimately that little period of 5 or 10 minutes, let it grow a little bit until you've got 15 or 20 minutes every day. Maybe it's the end of the day, maybe it's the beginning, but wherever it is that you take that break to meditate, that's going to have a big impact on reflection and thinking through life. Another thing, another habit that I think people could incorporate very easily that would make huge change is simply to find something that, you know, discover that passion and begin to bring that into their life slowly, and find a place, whether it's maybe one day a week or 3 days a week or whatever it is that you can shoehorn something in, and set aside time, make it a priority of something that really matters to you, and bring that into your life and do it on a regular basis to the point where, okay, now you've got a place in your life that you're proud of, you know, that bright, shining moment every week when you're doing something you love. And if you do that regularly and consistently, I think that's another habit that would really make a big difference. And then lastly, and this one is also really, really important, is, again, the kindnesses, the little kindnesses. Begin working those into your daily life, where you're kind to your body. Whether, like for myself, I make time every morning to exercise. There's times when I don't want to. I tell myself, you know what, you lazy bum, get off your butt and go do this. You have to. And after I'm done, I feel so good, because that is an enormous part of happiness, is physical health. And so I exercise 6 days a week for about an hour a day. And that has played a huge part, because I'm very, very healthy. I'm you know, part of that's good genes, and so I'm grateful for that. But I'm extremely healthy. I exercise. I try to eat right. And that combination of being good to your body, kind to your body, makes a tremendous difference. Because even if you can't do that, even if you can only do 5 minutes of exercise or 10 minutes of exercise, you're creating those chemicals in your body. They're called cytokines. And cytokine 6 is only produced by exercise. And you absolutely need that to have a healthy body. And in turn, and that has a huge impact on your emotional state. So to kind of summarize, the three habits that I think would really be huge is a couple of minutes every night or morning where you're doing a breathing exercise. Bring some things, some kindnesses into your life and a little something that you're passionate about, that you love. Bring that into your life. And then exercise. Start off small. Start off whatever you can and build up. And slowly that's going to have a huge impact on the way that you feel. And your body's going to look better. Your health is going to improve. And ultimately, the combination of things is going to be transformational. So those are a few habits that I would highly recommend for anybody.
TM, thank you so much for sharing those habits with us. A big theme on self-care in those habits, something that we rarely get to address. Usually it's everyone else and then us, or like we don't even think about it. So, I mean, I really like all the habits you mentioned with that theme of self-care. And another habit that I recommend for people is to learn as much as possible, because when you are growth-oriented, it helps you in a lot of different areas of your life, not just financially, but also in other areas. So with that in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us three books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Absolutely. I've read so many books over the years. I sat down and figured it out one time. I figured I've read about 10,000 volumes, somewhere in that neighborhood. Yeah. And out of all of those, I think for people, there's a few that really stand out in mind. One of them is The Tao Te Ching by Lao Tzu, which is an old Chinese classic. It's spelled T-A-O-T-E-C-H-I-N-G, and it means the Book of the Way. And what it is it's very simple. It's 81 short poems. It's, it's a tiny little book. But what it does is it gives you this fascinating, really brilliant, insightful way of kind of reconnecting with the cosmos. Of the Tao Te Ching is about how you harmonize with the cosmos. How do you harmonize your life with nature? And the essence of the message is simplicity. But it's a beautiful, beautiful book, and I would highly recommend anybody. I personally like the translation by Shambhala Press of the Tao Te Ching by John Wu, but any translation is going to be fine. And just flip through that one, and I think people would get a lot out of that. Another book that I'm very fond of that is just a very, very great treasury of brilliant insights and ideas is called Care of the Soul by Dr. Thomas Moore. And Dr. Moore is a psychiatrist in New York. Brilliant man, and has come up with this book that talks about how you craft your life, how you sculpt it, how you treat your life as an artist does his work, and you can transform your life that way. And I really have borrowed heavily from Dr. Moore, especially about his insights on spirituality, because that's, his specialty. But highly recommend Care of the Soul for anybody interested in that kind of subject. And finally, a lot of people struggle with creativity. It's a difficult subject. And I think that one book that is, don't be put off by the woo-woo aspects of this, but there's a book called The Urban Shaman by Kahili King. And it is absolutely wonderful if you just treat it as applying to your imagination. And it will free up your imagination in ways that are just tremendous. Whether or not you believe in magic or shamanism, just, don't even pay any attention to that part of it. Because he's saying that all these things will transform reality, actually. And I'm not saying they don't. Certainly, what he has to say is he has some very, very interesting points. And you may or may not agree with shamanism as an idea. But for creativity, it's a fantastic volume. And the rules that he lays out there are absolutely apply to the subconscious and to our relationship with our inner self, the quiet part that we don't really engage with very much, especially in the West. And so The Urban Shaman would be another one that is a wonderful way to kind of kickstart your creativity. And I would highly recommend those would be the three titles that if people were looking to transform or change, you know, I'd say, yeah, absolutely. You'd have a hard time beating those titles.
TM, thank you for sharing those great book recommendations. Those will all be in the show notes, marketerbuddy.com/E307. We'll also throw in content marketing secrets in the show notes for anyone looking to drive more traffic to their content and monetize their work. So those will all be in the show notes. Before we do wrap up this episode, TM, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
I think we need to ask the question of who we are. Who are you, really? And be willing to look, be willing to make a really, really hard look at who you are. Are you who you are meant to be? Are you the person that you want to be? Are you the person that you were born to be? And that question, if you answer it honestly, will transform your life. And because it leads to opening all these other questions and saying, you know what, I'm not really happy with the way I am. I really do need to change a little bit. And that self-reflection, I think, is missing in so many lives today. And so self-reflectivity, I would say, is the answer to that one. That no question. Ask, who am I and why? And be willing to face the answers honestly.
TM, thank you for sharing with us that great question and all of your great insights through our time together. If you guys want to learn more about TM, get his book, Lasting Happiness. That will be in the show notes of this episode. TM, it was a really great pleasure to have you on the show. Before we do tap out, though, is there any other place where you recommend that we all find you?
Sure. Anybody could visit lastinghappiness.net, and I would really appreciate your listeners if they'd like to visit the site. That would be fantastic. But you can find the book, Lasting Happiness, Secrets of the Heart, Mind, and Spirit, Revealed by T.M. Hoy, available everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, and so forth. But I would say definitely, please, I'd love to have you visit lastinghappiness.net and make some comments there. I'm really open to feedback from listeners. I'd love to hear from you, and I love to engage in conversation. So please just leave a comment. I'd be happy to talk, and love to hear from all of you. Especially, I like criticism too. Well, a lot of people don't, but I love criticism because it makes you better and it improves you. So by all means, please, you know, read the book and criticize, and let's start a conversation. That would be wonderful.
Thank you for sharing that resource, which will be in the show notes. So definitely visit that if you want to learn more about TM. But I mean, once again, I mean, TM, you really share a lot of new insights, a great perspective. So thank you for coming on Breakthrough Success.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mark. Really appreciate being on the show. And it was wonderful talking with you. Thank you so much.
Want to dominate the podcasting industry? Now you can with your free copy of my book, Podcast Domination. You'll learn how to launch, grow, and monetize your very own show. And whether you are a beginner or an expert, this book has a lot of golden nuggets for you. We'll cover the cost of producing this book. All we ask is that you cover the shipping. To get your copy, head over to markgubberti.com/PD.